This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Mikey on Joy.
Now, I'm sure you all know Stranger to the Sweet Sugar, that is Peking Duck, two men hailing from Canberra who made the move to Sydney years ago to pursue a career in the music industry. Now, in 2019, they're ARIA-winning, book publishing, and soon to be touring their biggest tour ever so far. Reuben, I hope you're well. Thanks for taking the time out to chat with us, my dude.
Yeah, mate. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's good to be back on the Joy.
We're keen to have you here.
I've never heard Mikey butchered up so much. Oh my God! Like
I'm allowed to in this. I'm allowed to be straight.
We have to say he's very starstruck. I'm making him blush. He's just really cute. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful! I'm glad to hear.
You've doxed me, Tom. Anyways, look, I want to cast your mind back to July 3rd, 2013. You'd hit 10K likes on Facebook, and everything seemed to be coming up Millhouse. Now, in terms of your day-to-day lives, how has that changed being 168,000 fans larger in 2019?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't like to think about the Facebook stats or anything like that, because I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't reflect, you know, upon whether people like your music or not, or whether it's, you know, doing good things for them or not. What I do notice, though, is the inbox. And when people send hey, this got me through this, or like whatever, the song Wasted didn't get me through anything, but it's very fun. Like there's some great messages from people, and like a lot of people DM us photos of tattoos of lyrics that they've put on themselves. And those little moments are just like, wow, how the shit did we make it such an impact on, you know, on this person, and that sort of feels really special.
Yeah, of course.
And back in 2013, I'll tell you what, it was just club beats, and no one was getting four to the floor beats tattooed on their chest.
No one was getting a bootleg tattooed in their chest for sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fan interactions have played a huge part in your music. December 15, you had a particular memorable moment when a fan got backstage by editing the Peking Duck Wikipedia page, inserting himself as a member and then bamboozling his way past the security guard. Have you had any experience with fans since then? Let's top that one.
Yeah, that was an incredible experience. That was in Melbourne, actually.
Yeah, of course.
And we had a corker show somewhere in, I think, Docklands or something like that. And after the set, had the security guard come up to us and say, "Hey guys, I'm just on your Wikipedia page, and I've seen the guy's ID. He says he's your family." And I looked at the Wikipedia page, and it just gave a big old spiel like about us and how we started and whatnot. And then at the end, in no capitals, no full stops, no punctuation, it just said, "Family David Spargo." I was like, oh, what a legend. I was like, "Bring him back here, let's have a beer with him." And he walked in and goes, "Oh, lads, I was just on the way out and thought, you know what, I'm going to have a beer with the boys." I was like, okay.
What a cooker.
Nice one. But then we saw him again, same dude, managed to become an extra on one of our video clips,
no
to
way.
Let You Down. Yeah, he's in the restaurant scene. And then that same bloke also snuck backstage at Falls Marion Bay by dressing up as a cleaner.
Oh. I have a feeling he might be a fan of yours.
He's so chill, though. It's not like he's always just like, "What's going on? Let's have a beer."
But they're the ones that I would worry about. The chilled ones. They're the ones you should look out for. Look, on top of releasing your new single, Sugar, we've also recently, you've dropped a book called DJ Ducks, a children's book about two DJ ducks trying to make it in the industry. So you guys are accustomed to working on music together. What was it like doing a book?
Yeah, it was an interesting progress, you know, putting together a children's story. We had no idea what we were thinking at the time. And it all just sparked over a drunken discussion about how much we hate Instagram and what it's doing to, like, little friends of ours that are perhaps family or not, just, you know, I guess the way it just provokes the teen angst that's already, you know, always been common amongst teens. Like, they see these people just with extravagant lifestyles, and so they follow more of those ridiculous people, and then they just see them just doing beautiful things, just always on a jet in a new place, and then it makes people feel a little bit crap about their own lives. And so we were like, how do we just, like, say to kids that Instagram really isn't everything, you know?
And it's not real.
Like, all right.
Half the time, it's not even their plane.
Oh, exactly, yeah. It's always fake. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And so we were like, oh, let's just make a story about, you know, a couple of ducks that just go from the ducklands in their home pond and go on an adventure to Bling City and try to get 1 million followers. And then once they reach 1 million followers, they realize that they're all empty and sad, and so they delete their accounts and go home and have a party and everything's good again. And so we kind of kept it simply to that core.
Yeah.
But we ended up making about 12 sub-stories, and we're like, wait, we're trying to aim this at kids. So we had to, like, remove about half of the side stories that were all happening within the show. We just got too excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's so cool, though, that you've taken your creative pursuits in such a different direction.
Yeah. Oh, it was so fun. And I dare say we definitely want to do it again sometime, for sure.
Maybe release a book that I wouldn't feel ashamed of going into the library to get, 'cause, you know, going to the children's section, they might give me a couple of sideways glances.
Yeah, that is a bit sus. Maybe the next book is a novel, you know? I just don't think... Well, we did think, like, oh, should we try and make it a compelling story for teenagers? We're like, oh, wait, that's like J.K. Rowling level stuff. Just try that.
Huge dedication. Really,
that's a bit of dedication, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we didn't take on Rowling or Tolkien. We just thought, you know what, let's just, you know, take it back to the Pamela Allen days.
Yeah.
And give that a nudge. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, Riffa. I'm a bit of a DJ duck myself, and I dabble in the DJing on weekends. And I always love to play Hadaway's What Is Love, even though everyone absolutely hates it and I kill the dance floor. But I want to know, is there a song that you love that you just can't justify playing live out of fear of just ruining the night?
I don't know. I mean, we do love playing some distant Arizona, but it's not always the best one to play at a festival, because it doesn't always shred super hard at festivals, because I guess at the festival everyone wants party music, and that song is like a real, you know, slow, almost length song. It's a strange one for us. I guess that's our one.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't really play DJ sets anymore, so we don't really get the chance to play other people's music so much, unless we are DJing at Talk To Me, our own bar.
Yeah.
And then there we'll sometimes get a little bit indulgent and start spinning things that no one really wants, like just straight up rock music when it's when it's simply a bar and people are dancing.
They just want to groove. Look, the last time I saw you live, you had a full trap set within your sets. So is that not happening in this coming tour?
No, we now have a full live. There's about a 6-piece live band, all being played live.
Huge.
Each instrument, and if it's a sample, it's getting triggered. And so it's a full band now, not just a DJ duo. Which is something we've been working on for the last few years, trying to turn it into a live show of straight up live music instead of just DJing.
Okay, massive.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun, super fun.
Ruben, whenever we get artists on the phone, I'm always curious to know what's on the rider for your shows, because some people have really extravagant things. You know, they've got 5 bottles of the finest wine, and some people just got, you know, a box of chips and maybe a little bit of tea. What's on your Peking duck rider?
we've all just begun, like, getting really into having raw ginger cut up into little pieces and just eating that.
What?
I feel like it, that one gives us a lot of life before the show. So that's a weird one for festival promoters. They're always like, oh man, we're not expecting that. And the other one is, of course, there's booze.
Yeah.
We have to have our Fernet Branca, which is our Italian Amaro Digestivo, whatever you call it.
Ah, see, si, si.
And it makes you need to crap just before the show. Genius.
That's exactly what you want.
But you got to time it right. You don't want to do it just before the set and then need to crap during it. And next one is we've got a John Wick tribute. We have Keanu and Nicolas Cage framed.
Oh, in a picture. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone has, literally no one's put the same picture up twice. And then some promoters are, you know, love getting a little bit creative with it and trying to mash the two faces together. And that one's a really fun one. So manager Ben, I think, takes home all the framed pictures of Keanu and Nick Cage. And so now he's got like a wall or two walls now covered in Keanu and Nick Cage.
That's insanity. Tom, when we make it, I want the whole cast of Sesame Street framed on a wall. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Or not.
Or oh, no.
Tom's yeah. not vibing that. Look, I did mention before I've seen a couple of your shows now, and you've had so many artists coming on stage to accompany your set. Can we get any insights into who you'll be surprising us with on this upcoming tour?
Well, I guess every single show is an absolute mystery, and each show will be totally different from each other. I do believe from Melbourne, though, we're going to make that's going to be the pinnacle of the tour. It's going to be the one, because we've never done Melbourne Arena before, and that's going to be an excuse for us to just make it more ridiculous, more Spinal Tap, more over the top than anything we've ever done.
Now I've got to get tickets.
Well, yeah. My daughter's going to be very jealous. She lives in Byron Bay, and she's so excited for when you come touring there, but don't tell her Melbourne's going to get a better concert. That'll really annoy her.
No, it'll be mad everywhere, but yeah, I'm pretty excited about Melbourne in particular.
All right. Well, you once had a dream of bringing a dog on tour. Now, you're any closer to achieving that dream, and if not, do you want to bring a slightly ethnic 20-year-old radio host with you?
Hell yeah. Well, do you know what we did do to deal with the dog problem? We tattooed tour dogs onto our legs. So I've got like a little corgi pup who's just facing the other way, but his head's turned around.
Yeah.
And then Adam's also got that exact same corgi pup. Photographer Pat has the exact same corgi. We've all got this tour dog, and then it's got TD stamped on its bum for tour dog. So we do have a tour dog. It's just not a real one.
Well, Mikey's really upset. I think he wanted to get into puppy play. I was trying to Google for him what puppy play was before we put that question out there, but he kept going with it. It's all okay.
Look, I just want to be the tour ethnic, but that's fine. You know what? I'm not hurt. It's fine.
Oh, you legend.
Look, Ruben, it's been a pleasure. Look, Peking Duck plays Melbourne on the 10th of May at Melbourne Arena. Head on over to pekingduck.com to get yourself tickets and all the information to the shows around Australia. Be quick. There's already about, five shows sold out. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's five shows sold out already and over a month till it all begins. So I can't believe what's going on right now. It's crazy.
Unreal.
Well, you all better be quick. Ruben, have a great day, and hopefully we see you in the Joy Studios very soon.
Oh, you certainly will. Cheers.
Have a good day, mate.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.